Yeah, they'll be okay with that. All right, next question. Tell me somebody that was a mentor in your life, personally. I gave you mine, one of mine. Of course, you know, there's quite a few others, too. You know, I know my dad was definitely a mentor to me. There ain't any question about that, and so was my mom. I mean, I got it from both of them all the time, and, you know, and so, yeah, you know, that was all obviously replaceable, some of the things that they had sat down and talked to you about, something that you actually thought they were getting ready to hit you, and they really just sat down and visited with you and talked to you and kept me out of trouble, to be honest with you, most of the time. And like I said, I grew up in a small community, so you didn't get in too much trouble without somebody already knowing what was going on. But I had a lot of people, fortunately for me, that kept me in line. You know, I didn't lead. I wasn't one of those kiddos growing up that spent a lot of time in the library. Matter of fact, I was talking to a girl. Now, we've been out of school a long time, granted. This reminds me of when Charles Jackson asked Bob, did they have bleachers at Grapevine when they were in high school? And Bob said, I don't know. You know, whether they did or not, we were busy playing ball. But it was kind of like she asked me one day, do you remember where the library was when you were in high school? And I said, I have no idea. I said, did we have one? I think I went to North Texas 2 years before I had to write a report, and somebody said, it's in the library. I said, where's that building? And they said, every time you go to the gym, it's that building on the right. And I said, okay, I got it. But tell me somebody that was a mentor to you.
My grandmother White. And
why?
I didn't live close to her. She lived in Mississippi. I lived in Texas, but I would go and spend like a couple of weeks. She was just such a good person. And she taught me how to crochet when I was 10. I did old lady stuff when I was little. But she was just real sweet and calm and just a wonderful person. She never
yes,
missed church, but she never missed the wrestling match on Saturday night.
She tell you about the claw, huh?
I had a teacher when my mom and dad divorced. It's a hard time. And I had a teacher, his name was Mr. Postiglione. He was a really incredible teacher. And the thing that I remember most is, I don't think it was just me, but he made me feel like I was just a special one. But he always took the time if you were upset, or he'd pull you aside, and he made me accountable. I can really remember, I really liked playing outside. I wasn't much into wanting to do homework, and so I didn't always do all my assignments. And I can remember him keeping me after school, making me catch up and get my homework done. And he actually, you know, took me home after school, you know, drove me home and stopped and got me an ice cream cone, which you can do that today. But he was, he had a great impact on me at a time when I really needed it.
It means a lot. Richard, who was yours?
Well, probably this is going to, you wouldn't know him, but my first boss, he was a World War II tail gunner. Did 28 missions. This was the meanest man I believe I've ever known, but he was consistently mean. As long as they're consistent, you can put up with it. But
absolutely,
it was an interesting character. He everybody hated him, but everybody respected him. And he's been dead now for 2 or 3 years and been retired since 89, and he's still a legend in our company. And he mentored a lot of young guys.
Pam, who was yours?
Actually, Rex Lavona and Betty and Bob Hodges, when we came to this church. I taught at the preschool, and all the people here were just so nice to us, and we were a younger couple, and probably a lot of the older people, which is us now too, in this church, taught us how to teach Bible classes and tried to teach us how to raise our kids. We did our best.
Hey.
See, you realize I'm sitting right by you, Mom.
One of them's here. No.
I had a student teacher in sophomore biology. She changed my direction and job. I was going to be a telephone operator. And she taught me it, and she said, you've got more to offer as a teacher. So she's the one that sent me into education.
Oh, cool. That's good.
So a student teacher, you never know, a student teacher, how much they'll influence you. I can't think of her name. I can see her face, but.
Professor Mosley, tell me who yours was.
That would be my Grandpa Thompson.
And why?
He led me to Christ. I had a deep.
There you go.
A lot into that.
There you go. Coach Fuller?
My dad,
My, only have one grandfather. My mother's dad. And virtually, no, not virtually, the majority of my high school coaches and a couple of college coaches.
You learn from other people, though, that you don't even know, that you're going to learn something from them.
Absolutely.
Being friends with them. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because what you just said and what Pam said, you know, we're all mentors from starting right here around the room to right over there. Every one of them. You know, you don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a counselor. You don't have to, but you've got to be able to grab people, and you've got to be able to talk to them. You know, what did Christ do? What was the first thing that Christ did? You know, when it talks about, who did he pick up right off the bat? Who did he go get? Who was it, Bob?
Poor.
That's right. And what did he tell them he was going to make of them? He's going to make them fishers of men. That's exactly what he started. That's how he started with his disciples. But the thing that I think, and this is really where we want to go with this, and obviously that, but where we want to go with this is to be able to talk about what are we doing as mentors, for example, as all of us, not just with each other in this church, but what are we doing when we walk outside of the doors of this church? You can't end here. You can't end here. Bob and I had a long conversation about this at his house just 2 or 3 days ago, and honestly, he thought I'd come by to visit, but I come by really to pick Bob's brain about mentoring to begin with, because if anybody knows anything about it, Bob does, say the least. But so does everybody else in here. Everything that we just mentioned, okay, you can do. Everything, and it doesn't matter your age. It makes no difference, your age. It doesn't matter if you're old, if you're young, or whatever. It doesn't really matter. You have the opportunity and you have the ability to be a great mentor. You know, and somebody, it's like you just said, somebody's watching you all the time. I never will forget, we had a little old high school newspaper when I was in high school, and believe it or not, I was actually the editor of it. The only reason I was because I had an off period, nobody else did, and so they stuck me in there and made me do it. But it was just like a little old typical country 3 or 4 page deal. Well, after they did a article one time, so whoever it was, I mean, I didn't do all that stuff, about who do you admire? You know, and they went down to the 5th grade. Well, I hardly ever read that newspaper, first of all. I just kind of helped put it together, and then took it. My best deal was we got to go to town, so I'd go to the store and get chocolate milk, Cheetos, and eat them, and then hang out down there and then go back to school. But I was in reading that thing, and this little kid up going down through there, and it said Chauncey Willingham. Well, I didn't, you know, and boy, I mean, I thought I kind of knew who this kid was, but he's in the 5th grade. I was a senior. Who is this kid? So anyway, I mean, tell you, I made it a point that day. That building was just right down there. Well, I went down there and asked the teacher if I could see that kid, and they let him come out, and I asked him why, and he said something about football and all this kind of stuff, and I thought, wow. I thought, well, kid, you're going to be okay the rest of the year because you got your own protection, buddy. Anybody picks on you, we're good. You just come on down to that high school and get me, and I'll come down there and take care of these 5th graders for you. But you never know who's looking. You know, you never know who's looking at you. And to be a mentor, I think that's what that should be a strong characteristic. You know, let's think about the disciples for a second. Christ picked up all these guys, these 12 guys, okay? Were all of them great guys?
No.
No, absolutely not. What were some of them like? Give me some examples of some of them. What were they? What did they do?
Judas was a betrayer.
Tax collector?
Tax collector.
What else?
Quick-tempered Peter.
Huh?
Quick-tempered Peter.
Yep, quick-tempered.
Doubting Thomas.
Doubting Thomas? What was the world? What was the worst one?
Judas.
You know, did Christ kick him out at any point in time? I mean, there was a reason why he was there. What else? You know, some of these guys, I mean, they didn't any of them come from the same background to begin with. But let's look at kind of where they started out, and because what Christ did for them, and how he pulled them along the roads and talked to them and worked with them. And then at one point in time, what did Christ tell these guys? What did he tell them? After he had done all this work with him, one time he looked at them and said, go what? Go out into the world and seek and save the lost. Go get them. Basically, he said, go get them. You know, I look at that kind of as a head football coach. The last thing he can do before you go out the door of a field house is just says, go get them. you know, because his job's over with at that point in time, and he may direct a little bit, but what he's done during the week is what's going to pay the end result on that Friday night or Saturday or whatever. In the same way with the disciples, the same way with us. You know, when we listen to Scott this morning talk, you know, he's gonna give us some different things, and he's going to mentor to us, and he's going to talk to us like that. But you know what? In the end result, it's not Scott's responsibility, is it? It's not his responsibility if I go do something this afternoon, or if I run into somebody tomorrow at work or out at McDonald's or somewhere else, and if I don't take the opportunity to talk with them and develop some type of relationship. I have to develop that relationship. If I don't develop that relationship, then I'm really missing the thing here. I've got some... Pass those out right there. I meant to do this a little bit earlier. I just flat forgot to... Just take one, just pass them around. These are some of the verses. I hope I have enough for all of them that relate to the disciples and relate to Christ and where they were. Let's look at some of the other people real quick. And I really will get into a whole lot more of this next week too. But what about Barnabas and Paul? What about them? Were they mentors? What kind of mentor was Paul, for example? What did he do?
He changed.
He what?
He changed.
Yep, from what he was. Right. I mean, basically, what was Paul before he became the guy that everybody loves now?
Persecutor.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what he did. And then, what does it say about... let's look in... Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, or 1 Corinthians 1, said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So that alone tells me, you know, where his heart was. I mean, we knew where Paul's heart was to begin with after all the persecution he did in his early state. Let's look, what do you think made those guys, when Christ came by there and saw them in the boat, and said, come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. What in the world do you think made them think, hey, I'm done fishing, I think I'll just go with this guy. They didn't know him, did they? Did they know him?
I think they had seen chances of seeing him speaking before.
Of him speaking?
Yeah.
But would you go with somebody you don't know? Would you go with somebody you don't know? I mean, if he came by today and say, Chauncey, quit your job. Come go with me. I'd say, seriously? What are you paying? You know, how much an hour are you paying? You know, because the fishermen, I mean, that's how they made their living. You know, by their catches. That's how they lived. And so just for them to just stop doing what they're doing, how in the world, what do you think he put off that caused them to want to do that? I mean, there had to be something there. You know, I mean, I'm not looking for a specific answer because I don't have that answer. But, you know, there are just some people you want to follow.
Well, wasn't that on the hills of the all-night fishing trip that turned out, you know, provide nothing? And then he said, we need to go back out. And I said, okay, I guess we will. And they loaded the two boats down.
Right. Yeah. Load them up. You know, the thing of it is, guys, and, well, there again, it's pretty obvious to all of us. What? You know, if you throw in, I've got some combinations here, and I just want to read them to you. Barnabas and Paul, you know, is two different type of combinations. You got Paul and Timothy, and then of course you got Naomi and Ruth, and you got Elijah and Elisha, you got Moses, and you got Joshua, and then of course you got Deborah and Barak, and you got Elizabeth and Mary. You know, what would Elizabeth, where in there do you think that she was a mentor?
Mary went to see her.
That's right. Do you think they talked and worked with each other and gave each other ideas of how to get by doing what they needed to do? I mean, they were what was happening to those two was totally different than what happened to most people. So they had to at least have those conversations, and obviously it was successful for them, to say the least. What about the... Huh?
Sorry,
go ahead.
I read this book called Truth in Galilee. It's got Mary done. And Elizabeth, being married to the priest, she was mentored for the young virgins that were in the temple. She was their teacher and everything. Mm-hmm. Prepared for free their daughter. You take care of it. You do more for my daughter than we can.
Right.
But she was a mentor for those girls.
Let me ask you a question, because I guess it's getting close to being time to be done. I really wasn't paying attention. We're going to go back over these lists that I just passed out a while ago. So if you're coming back next week, at least stick that in your Bible and bring it back with you. I want to go through a lot of different things there. But how do we, just real quick off the top of your head, how do we get to the point in this church where we become mentors or mentees? And the reason I ask that, guys, I want you to, today, just when you go out there and sit down, you know, look around out there. Do you see anybody out there that you think, wow, I ought to have a relationship with that person? You know, I really ought to kind of get to know them. I might be able to help them. You know, I mean, we're not all perfect, obviously. You know, I'll take any help you can give me. I can tell you right now, I'd be more than happy to sit down and help you straighten me out. But there again, how many of the, you got people that you're going to run into that needs that? And there again, it all goes back to that. Everybody wants to be loved. I don't know of anybody that doesn't want to be loved. I mean, you got some people that have had hard lives that doesn't act like they want to, but in the long run, they want to be loved. And all it takes sometimes is just that personal touch and just some compliment. You know, I'll end with this. I did this deal for a long time, and it's called Connecting with Kids. And it's where I bring in fishing stuff and all this kind of stuff and do all kinds of junk and everything. But I relate it to businesses and everything, too. But the one thing that I always tell first-year teachers, for example, if you want to be a great teacher, the first day in class, it doesn't matter. It will take you all of about 2 minutes to realize who the worst kid in that class is. They're going to let you know. Trust me. Coach will tell you. They're going to let you know who they are because they're going to do something right off the bat to let you know that don't be messing with me because I don't do anything. I'm just here. That first day, if you want to win somebody over, you find out something that kid can do, and then you brag on him, you get his telephone number, her number, and you call that parent that afternoon. And you say, hey, I just want you to know that little Johnny today, you know, that's the best kid I've ever had. I've never had anybody dust my right. That kid did such a wonderful job. And then when he comes home that afternoon, that mom looks at him and says, you're not going to believe your teacher called. What'd they call for? To tell me what a great job you did today. That kid will kill for you after that because you finally bragged on him and nobody else ever did. No one's ever taken the time to ever reach out and touch him in that manner. And then just a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time, that kid gets there. You know, Christ, when he took these disciples, you know, they were hard-headed. You know, and they had their own way. They questioned him a lot, didn't they? They were always asking him questions because he's like, why? You know, it's kind of like, why? Why? Patty, if you get to... It's kind of like why all the time, and then of course Christ always had an answer for them, and he was never short with them, was he? Never short with them. He always took his time and talked with them and worked with them, and then he questioned them too.
Even if you didn't know them or never saw them, he was just like they was my partner.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So. Next week, we're going to dig into a little bit more with the disciples and some other people that are mentors in the Bible. And I want to go over some things of why Christ was some of the things that he did that caused them to be, that caused people wanted to be with him. You know, he stimulated them, he encouraged them, he trusted them. And when he said, go out and seek and save the lost, how much more in the world could you trust somebody? He put those 12 people in charge of the things that he loved the most for his father, didn't he? He put those people in charge of it. Well, you know what? He did the same thing to us. And so it's up to us to do exactly the same thing. You know, let's just have
the same order.
Exactly the same order. We got the same book, didn't we? So, absolutely. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll be gone. Dear most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come to thee now in prayer to give thanks for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Dear God, we just ask that you be with us. We ask that we open our eyes. We ask that we open our hearts, dear Heavenly Father, to reach out to those that need us the most. And dear Heavenly Father, we also ask that we continue to open our hearts and learn each and every day of everything we possibly can about you and your Son, Jesus. Dear God, we're just thankful for this time. Please forgive us for our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for coming.
Classes, we've all sermons, and see there's some different things going on. What would be excited to be here? We've a part of this is, as we talk about faith and we talk about family, and as Scott leads us through this concept of renovation, and we want you to be able to utilize things. And all of our classes over the next 6 weeks are a little bit different than normal. We're not going through a full 13-week quarter. Each class will be either a one-week or a two-week type deal, and there's a bunch. And you've got a handout inside your bulletin that we call the Summit Guide, and inside that guide, if you are a visitor here in a minute, I'm going to ask you to remain seated, and we're going to stand around you, and